Welcome back to the Dyslexic Signal, the podcast where we shine a light on the hidden challenges, overlooked strengths, and incredible resilience of dyslexic minds. I'm your host, Lauren, and today's episode is titled Breaking the Chains, Dyslexia, and the Power of Self-Acceptance. This one is personal. We'll talk about those invisible chains we carry, shame, self-doubt, and the feeling that something is wrong with us. And then we'll talk about how to break free from those chains through knowledge, compassion, and self-acceptance. This episode will be longer than usual. So grab a cup of tea, a journal if you like to reflect, and let's take this journey together. Let's start with the invisible chains. Dyslexia is often described as a learning disability, but what really hurts most isn't the wiring of our brains. It's the shame and misunderstanding that come with it. For many of us, it started in the classroom. Do you remember sitting at your desk, silently praying the teacher wouldn't call on you to read aloud? I do. For me, that moment felt like standing on stage with the spotlight shining on my every mistake. I want to share a story about Mark. Not his real name, but a story so many can relate to. Mark grew up in a small town where reading aloud in class was almost a daily ritual. Every time his turn came, he stumbled, misread words, or froze. The laughter from classmates cut deep. Teachers would sigh and say things like, "You need to try harder," or "You're just not paying attention." The truth? Mark was trying harder than anyone else in the room, but he carried those words, lazy, careless, not trying, like chains around his shoulders. And by the time he was 16, he believed them. He believed he was broken. That's the power of these invisible chains. They don't just hold us back academically. They shape how we see ourselves. If you've ever carried those chains, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you're a parent or teacher listening, I want you to know your words matter. They can either tighten those chains or help break them. Now let's shift into real stories of struggle and breakthrough. Because even though dyslexia often starts with hardship, it doesn't have to end there. Take Maria, for example. She didn't know she was dyslexic until she was 42 years old. Imagine living your whole life thinking you were bad at reading or slow. Maria had dropped out of college after struggling with essays, work jobs far below her intelligence level, and hid her shame behind humor. One day, her daughter was tested for dyslexia. As the evaluator explained the signs, Maria's eyes filled with tears. It was like hearing her own life story. She got tested, and for the first time, she had an answer. Her breakthrough moment wasn't the diagnosis itself. It was the day she sat in a support group surrounded by other adults with dyslexia. She realized she wasn't alone. She wasn't broken. She was part of a community. And then there's Daniel, a successful entrepreneur who hid his dyslexia from his business partners for years. He avoided contracts, delegated paperwork, and worked twice as hard to cover up his struggles. But one day, he decided to share his story in a meeting. He expected pity or judgment. Instead, he got respect. His partners admired his honesty and his resilience. That day, Daniel broke a chain. And then there's the story of a high school teacher, Ms. Jordan, who spotted a boy in her class showing all the signs she herself had hidden as a child. She told him, "You're not lazy, you're smart, your brain just learns differently." For that student, those words changed everything. What these stories show us is simple. Breakthroughs happen when we stop hiding, when we connect with others, and when someone, sometimes just one person, believes in us. And some insights. Research tells us that dyslexia isn't about intelligence. It's about how the brain processes language. MRI scans show that dyslexic brains use different neural pathways when reading, often working harder, but also engaging areas linked to creativity, spatial reasoning, and problem solving. So when someone says, "You're not smart because you struggle with reading," science says otherwise. There's also powerful research on self-compassion. Psychologist Kristen Neff talks about how self-compassion reduces anxiety and builds resilience. Instead of beating ourselves up for mistakes, we learn to treat ourselves the way we treat a friend. For dyslexic individuals, this is life-changing, and he involves reevaluating a negative belief and reinterpreting it in a more positive light. Reese, one more insight: reframing. Cognitive reframing means taking a negative belief and reshaping it. Instead of, "I'm stupid because I can't spell," it becomes, "Spelling is one area I struggle with, but I'm gifted in problem solving, creativity, or big picture thinking." That shift doesn't erase the struggle, but it changes the story. So, what does self-acceptance really look like? It starts with naming the shame, saying, "Yes, this is hard, this has hurt me, and I've carried these chains," and then slowly loosening them. One exercise I often recommend is writing a letter to your younger self. Maybe you picture yourself as that 8-year-old who froze during reading time. What would you tell them now? Would you say, "You're not broken, you're not dumb, you're brilliant, and your story isn't over"? Here's something powerful. I once worked with a woman named Keisha who did this exercise. She wrote to her younger self, "Don't believe them. Your worth isn't in spelling tests. It's in your heart, your ideas, and your determination." She cried as she read it aloud, and she said it felt like finally taking off a heavy backpack she had carried for decades. Self-acceptance is not a destination, it's a practice. Some days we feel strong, other days the old voices whisper again, but the difference is now we can answer back. We can say, "I am enough," and here's the truth: once you accept yourself, you open the door to others. Parents can model self-acceptance for their kids. Teachers can foster it in their classrooms. Employers can create spaces where differences aren't hidden but celebrated. So here are your takeaways. The chains of dyslexia are shame, doubt, and stigma. The breakthrough comes with understanding, reframing, and connection, and the power lies in self-acceptance. Here's my challenge to you this week. Write that letter to your younger self, or if you're a parent, write it to your child. And if you'd like, send me a message or comment. I'd love to feature your reflections in a future episode. Thank you for joining me on this journey today. This has been a longer episode, but I hope it touched your heart the way it touched mine to create it. If this episode spoke to you, share it with a friend, a parent, or a teacher who needs to hear it. Subscribe so you don't miss the next one. Together, we're breaking chains, rewriting stories, and proving that dyslexia is not the end. It's just the beginning of a different kind of brilliance. I'll see you in episode 10. Until then, keep shining.